Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation radio show, reminding you that we have a two-hour program Monday through Friday with great interviews on topics that impact you. Our goal is to return our country to a biblically based constitutional republic as envisioned by our founding fathers and what made our nation the greatest in the world for over 150 years. You are a part of that vision, so please join us at ChosenGenerationRadio.com, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, and sign up for our emails today.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air, and we are sponsors of Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Sponsoring this program has been a real blessing to our business, and I want to encourage you to join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. Once again, that's 830-446-3624. I know your business will be blessed as ours is, and I challenge you to this blessing. Thank you.
Now is a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. There's no better way to do so than by joining the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. AMAC is one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in America. Well over 2 million people have joined and now carry the AMAC membership card. AMAC was built by regular folks who feel the same way you do. You're not alone. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that made America so great. We're fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of federal government. We believe in the sanctity of our Constitution. So if you're 50 or over and hold to traditional American values, you no longer have to feel alone. Call the Association for Mature American Citizens, AMAC, and get great discounts and support your values. Call today, 855-696-7930, 855-696-7930. Use the code Pastor Greg, get your first year absolutely free.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being here. I do know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the program here. Don't forget to go to the website, ChosenGenerationRadio.com. ChosenGenerationRadio.com. You can pick up the email there and get on our email list. We send out articles that you're not going to get, truly not going to get, virtually anywhere else. We scour for things that the mainstream media just plain won't tell you, and we want you to know what's really going on, so you can be engaged and you can be involved. Well, I am so excited to welcome my next guest. I've been talking about this for the last hour and a half. Ward Connerly and I spoke about this as we got into the break and shared it with you again. My next guest, I hope, is the next governor of the state of California. He's running because the decline of California isn't the fault of its people. It's the fault of the government. And that's what's ruining the Golden State. Their schools have been closed to both students and parents. The streets aren't safe because of rising crime and or the disaster of rising homelessness and scandals in Sacramento that will not stop. And I want to welcome to the program Larry Elder. Larry, welcome. It's great to have you.
Pastor Greg and Ward, thank you so much for having me. Pastor Greg, that sounded like my stump speech.
Well, I was doing my best, man. I was doing my best.
Pastor Greg, what do you need me for?
I'm auditioning as a surrogate. What can I tell you? That was the deal. There was an audition. So,
but of course, you're right. For the first time in our state's history, and this state is 170 years old, people are leaving, and they're leaving for all the reasons you mentioned. The reason 1.7 million people signed a petition to recall Governor Gavin Newsom. A good quarter to a third of them were people who just voted for him 2 years earlier. By that, I mean Democrats and independents. It's because of the hypocritical way he slammed down this state in the most severe way compared to the other 49 states. He's up there at that famous French Laundry restaurant. And by the way, Pastor Greg, before this French Laundry incident, I'd never heard of the French Laundry. I thought it was somewhere you took your tux to get it cleaned. Here he is sitting up there incurring a $12,000 wine tab with the very lobbyists and members of his administration who drafted the mandate that they were violating. They weren't wearing masks. They weren't socially distancing. while telling everybody else in California to do just that. He had his own children enjoying in-person private education while denying in-person education for the kids educated in government schools. 80%, by the way, are black and brown. I only mentioned their race because the left prides itself on caring about black and brown students. Now, prior to the pandemic, Pastor Greg, only 75% of black boys in California educated in government schools could even read at state levels of proficiency. And those levels are not high. In fact, they lower them all the time. Half of all third graders could not read at state levels of proficiency. I went to a school called Crenshaw High School, public school. If you saw the movie Boys in the Hood that came out years ago, that's my high school. Only 2% of kids at Crenshaw High School today are math proficient. One of the many things I intend to do when I get into Sacramento is to push school choice, so the money follows the child rather than the other way around. My understanding is that there's going to be a ballot initiative to set up educational savings accounts. We spend $15,000 per student in California. Our results, reading and math, are near the bottom. This money would be used by parents to put their kid in a better school, a charter school, a private school, a religious school, or even homeschooling. The number one obstacle to this is a teachers union. And they're the largest funder of my opponent, Gavin Newsom. They just gave him $1.8 million just the other day, and they are adamantly opposed to school choice. And that is because the teachers would not, of course, become automatic members of the union, and they would not get those automatic dues. Now, one of the things I find really insulting, Pastor Greg, is if you look at the polls, overwhelmingly black and brown parents living in the inner city support school choice. Yet year after year after year, they pull that lever for the Democratic Party, funded by the teachers union, to stop them from escaping poverty. The way to leave poverty is to first finish high school, according to a left-wing think tank called the Brookings Institution. You'll notice, Pastor Greg, I always try and use left-wing sources whenever I can because they can't refute them. The right. first step is to finish high school. The second step, don't have a kid before you get married. Third, get a job. And they don't say that only applies to white people. That's the route to escape poverty. So you're pulling that lever every single year for the Democratic Party that stops you from step one to escape poverty. Finally, when you look at where teachers, public school teachers, send their own school-age kids, it's shocking. Nearly 10% of Americans have their kids in private school. 6% of black families do. However, Philadelphia public school teachers with school-age kids, 44% of them have their own kids in private school. In Chicago, it's 39% of public school teachers with school-age kids have their own kids in private school. And in the Los Angeles district where I am, a public school teacher with a school-age kid is twice as likely to have his or her kid in a private school compared to a household that does not have a public school teacher in it. This is just outrageous. And they're getting worse and worse and worse. And as I said, Gavin Newsom had his own kids enjoying in-person private education. It's the elitism. It's the arrogance that has angered so many people here in California.
And I was explaining, and Ward and I were talking about this as well. You know, I had Dr. Carson on just a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about the opportunity zones and private funding, private equity funding that went into neighborhoods to help give people an opportunity. But you can't have an opportunity to open up a business, Larry, when you have lawlessness in the neighborhood, and you know that whatever you put in your store without any law enforcement, they're going to be able to come in and steal the merchandise and not pay for it. You can't open up a business in that kind of an environment.
You certainly can't. And violent crime is up in every major city here in California. It's up in Oakland. By violent crime, of course, I'm talking about shootings and homicides. Up almost 50% here in L.A. It's up in San Diego. And the people who are primarily victimized, of course, by this crime are the very black and brown people that the left prides itself on caring about. During this pandemic, Gavin Newsom early released 20,000 convicted felons, many of whom were violent offenders. And based upon statistics, they're likely to reoffend. What could possibly go wrong? Then you have this ridiculous defund the police movement. In Oakland, Barbara Boxer, the former senator, was mugged. Her cell phone was taken. And just 3 days earlier, the Oakland police chief was complaining about money taken away from his police department, meaning fewer officers, a slower response time. And then just a few months earlier, Gavin Newsom was attacked by a mentally ill homeless person. And the only reason he wasn't injured is because he had his security detail around him. Now, how many people, black and brown people and just regular people, have a security detail. Again, the people who are hurt by this rise in crime and by this false narrative that the police are engaging in systemic racism, causing them to pull back and just respond to radio calls. They're not engaging in proactive policing anymore. Bad guys know it. When you reduce the possibility of a bad guy being caught, being convicted, and being incarcerated, surprise, surprise, crime goes up.
Well, and they want to talk. You know, I'm going to call you governor. They want to talk, governor, about. They want to talk about prison reform. That's another big thing that the left likes to, you know, likes to throw out. Well, you know, we let these people out. Look how. But they've done nothing to help give them an opportunity to assimilate. One of the things Dr. Carson talked about was programs where you had business people in the community that were mentoring inmates and getting them ready, getting them taught, getting them prepared so that when they came out, they could offer them a job. And the recidivism on that was just through the roof, but because you're training them in something new and giving them an opportunity so they have something to rely on to give themselves a sense of self-worth and an economic opportunity.
Well, you're right. But can we just go back a little further and talk about why we're having some of these social problems?
Yes, sir.
It starts with the family. In 1965, mm-hmm. Lyndon Johnson, a nouveau liberal, launched called the War on Poverty. At the time, Pastor Greg, 25% of black children entered the world without a father married to the mother. Fast forward, now 70% of black children enter the world without a father married to the mother. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm quoting a left-wing source, Barack Obama. He said a kid raised without a father is 5 times more likely to be poor and commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, and 20 times more likely to end up in jail. In 1965, 8% of white kids entered the world without a father married to the mother. Now it is 25% of white kids doing that. 40% of all American kids now enter the world without a father married to the mother. Nearly half of Hispanic kids do. What we've done since you've launched this so-called war on poverty, and I think we spent over $20 trillion on it, we have incentivized women to marry the government, and we've incentivized men to abandon their financial and moral responsibility. In California, 6.5% of people are black in the population. 40% of the homeless are black. Again, 6.5% of the people in California are black. Nearly 40% of the prisoners are black. It starts with the breakdown of the family, and the left doesn't even want to have that conversation.
Well, and Dr. I can Greg, and go ahead, Ward, please. Thank you for jumping in. Appreciate it.
You won't hear this nuanced understanding of the dynamics of our society from anybody else out there, including our governor, current governor. Governor Elder understands it all and is willing to put himself on the line to explain it to the people over whom he will be governing. And they don't like it. The far left don't like it, going so far as to call him the black face of white supremacy. And this is the shame of progressive priorities, as I have been told they are. This is the shame of them. They are injecting racism into our society, into our culture, in ways that are destroying us. And I am just so thrilled that we finally have a candidate. We had a governor come to us, thanks to the good Lord, who understands all this and who is willing to be honest with us, who is willing to put himself on the line and to say, this is what I want my state to be.
Larry, you keep talking about family values. Just real quick, let me get this question into you. You keep talking about the family values, and I know my audience is really, that's what they're about. I mean, their core belief system begins at family values. How do you change that climate in California and convert these families that are being born, all of this that's happening that is contrary to giving these youngsters a good start?
Well, Pastor Greg, as Ward said, it starts with telling the truth. Malcolm X once said, I'm for the truth no matter who's telling it. I was having a conversation with a black reporter who was getting on me about my insistence that systemic racism is a myth. It's a narrative pushed by the left. And he kept telling me that systemic racism was a major problem in America. And I said to him, okay, let's have a mind experiment. Take out your magic wand. What's it over America? Of racism from the hearts of whites. Now everybody white thinks like Mother Teresa. Do we still have the phenomenon where 70% of black children enter the world without a father married to the mother? We still have the phenomenon where 50% of the homicide victims in America are black, even though blacks are just 13% of the population, and almost all of those homicide victims are killed by other blacks. Do we still have the phenomenon where the number one cause of preventable death for young white men is accidents, like car accidents or drowning, whereas the number one cause of preventable death for young black men is homicide, almost always at the hands of another young black man? Do we still have the phenomenon where a young black man is 8 times more likely to be murdered compared to a young white man, and almost always the murderer is another young black man? If the answer I told him to that series of questions is yes, then I submit to you that systemic racism is not the problem, and reparations and critical race theory are not the answer. He didn't have much of a response.
And so really, no. it begins at changing the culture then, and giving people an opportunity is what it sounds like to me.
Well, and Pastor, we know that these perverse incentives are there. Recalled in 1996, Bill Clinton signed the Welfare Reform Act against the objection of many of the members of the Congressional Black Caucus. And what happened? Welfare rolls declined by almost 50%, far deeper decline than any of the most optimistic projections. And what happened with the welfare reform bill, you might recall, is they put caps on having additional children. You no longer got additional money with additional children. Mm-hmm. And they put timelines. And a whole bunch of able-bodied people and able-bodied men and women got off the couch and went to work.
And it sounds to me like that is part of the platform that you're proposing is to create economic opportunities for all Californians. Hang on just a minute, Governor. We'll be right back. Ward Connerly is with us. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to the Chosen Generation Radio Show. Get more at the website, chosengenerationradio.com. That's chosengenerationradio.com. We'll be back with more with Elder. Electelder.com is the website. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, reminding you that we have a 2-hour program Monday through Friday with great interviews on topics that impact you. Our goal is to return our country to a biblically based constitutional republic as envisioned by our founding fathers and what made our nation the greatest in the world for over 150 years. You are a part of that vision, so please join us at ChosenGenerationRadio.com, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, and sign up for our emails today.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg, and my special guest, Larry Elder, who is running for governor for the great state of California, and Ward Connerly, who has just been absolutely an icon in the state of California and across the country fighting for equality. And there's a huge difference, and we talked about the difference between equality and equity. And I just want to again remind my faith-based listeners in California, it is so critically important that you engage. I know how frustrating it has been not to have a candidate on the ballot that you could feel comfortable and feel good about putting a vote in for. There is an opportunity now in California to vote on two things. Number one, to recall Gavin Newsom and his radical liberal ideals that are sinking the state of California, and to vote for a true family-oriented, traditional conservative in Larry Elder. And I would just encourage you, so Pastor Greg's personal recommendation, that you vote for the recall. That's a yes on the front of the ballot, and flip it over and mark a vote for Larry Elder. Larry, tell me, as governor, in a perfect world, what are the things that you would immediately begin changing in California?
Well, Pastor Greg and Ward, I don't drink coffee. I drink tea. But before I had my first cup of tea, to the extent that there is still mandates for masks and mandates for vaccination for state workers, they're going to be repealed before I have my first cup. You know, one of the things that Gavin Newsom did was he shut down places of worship while allowing marijuana dispensaries and liquor stores to remain open. That's the kind of inconsistency that got him facing this recall election. I had a long conversation with former Governor Pete Wilson, and I asked him the very question you raised. I'll be dealing with a hostile legislature, two-thirds of them in the Senate and two-thirds of them in the Assembly are, of course, Democrats. What can I do? He said, you'll have the power to do a number of things. One, you can, of course, veto silly bills. Believe it or not, a bill that's been vetoed here in California, and there have been many in the last 40 years, in the last 40 years, not a single vetoed bill has been overridden. Turns out you vetoed something, explain it to Californians as to why it was a job killer, and lo and behold, they don't override the veto. You have the power to declare a statewide emergency, which I will do on housing. One of the reasons we have the homelessness problem, just one reason, is because of how expensive housing is. I'm also going to declare a statewide emergency on water. We're running out of water here in California, and it's not because we don't know what to do. Voters have passed bond measure after bond measure after bond measure to improve our water infrastructure, but nothing has been done in about 40 years when the state was half its size. I'm going to also have the power to appoint very powerful members of commission. We have the Coastal Commission, very powerful. We have the Public Utilities Commission, very powerful. I know Ward was a member of the UC Board of Regents. I have also have that power. And I also have the bully pulpit. I've been explaining ideas about crime, about homelessness, about the rise in the cost of living to Californians for over 27 years. And I'm going to use my bully pulpit to the best of my ability to hopefully shape the way Californians view things going forward.
And tell them the truth. Folks, if you're looking for, again, a conservative, traditional valued individual to lead the state of California, I would encourage you to look at electelder.com, electelder.com. Ward, Larry, thanks so much for being with me. God bless you, folks. I'll be back next week.
At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say, the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God and I love his creation. And I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil and only God is good. And Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up. And in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil so you all might enter into his rest.
Now is a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. There's no better way to do so than by joining the Association of Mature American Citizens. AMAC. AMAC is one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in America. Well over 2 million people have joined and now carry the AMAC membership card. AMAC was built by regular folks who feel the same way you do. You're not alone. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that made America so great. We're fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of federal government. We believe in the sanctity of our Constitution.
So if you're 50 or over and hold to traditional American values, you no longer have to feel alone. Call the Association for Mature American Citizens, AMAC, and get great discounts and support your values. Call today, 855-696-7930, 855-696-7930. Use the code Pastor Greg, get your first year absolutely free.